We got down in chapter 12 last week of Luke, talking about the account Jesus gives of the rich man whose fields were so plentiful that he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to need to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And he said, if I do that, if I tear these down and build bigger ones, then I can just sit back and relax, eat, drink, and be merry, the text says. And I won't have to worry about anything ever again. And that's kind of where we got last week, and we talked quite a bit about that. I won't go back and talk much about it. But notice what he says in verse 21 as he ends that account. After God tells him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you, he says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Remember, he had talked about the reason he gives that account is because someone had asked him, you know, my brother won't share the inheritance with me. And so we saw two selfish people. And Jesus warns them about coveting. You know, this inordinate desire for what other people have. Says you. So he gives this account about what's important. It is not important to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. He says that's not what's important. What's important is laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's the only thing that lasts. You know, these other things are corruptible. Moths get in and eat them. Thieves steal them. And how often do you hear about that in this world? Someone that becomes very rich, and then in no time they've lost it. It's gone. And then what do they have? Well, they have nothing. Jesus says it's just the opposite if you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, because no one can steal those things. They don't decay. They're not corruptible. No human can get in there and steal them from you. So he says, what's important? You be rich toward God. Just the opposite of what our society stresses. You know, our society says, you build those bigger barns because that's what's going to make you happy. Isn't that what you see every time you turn the TV on? Buy this, do this, go here, go there, and that's what's going to make you happy. And if you don't buy that, or don't buy this, or don't go there, or don't do this, then there's no way you could possibly be happy. I mean that's kind of what pushes most of advertising and TV and so forth, is that philosophy. Your happiness is the most important thing in your life, and the only way you're going to be happy is by having those things and doing those things and being like these people and all that. I mean, that's kind of what drives so much of our consumerism. Yes, yeah, that's right. And that's what he says about this rich fool, right? You know, if you're going to die tonight, so who's all these things going to be? They're not going to be yours. You're not going to have any of that stuff. So you're putting the total emphasis on the wrong thing. And again, that just seems to be so much about our society today. That's their philosophy. It's me and I and mine and what you have I want, and I want to make sure you don't get anything that I have because I want to keep it. And it's just, you know, it just goes on and on. And it is nice to see some exceptions to that going along the way. And you know, when people, and you kind of brought that up, people see whether Christians are selfish or not. And they really see that, whether we're willing to share, give things to other people, do things for other people, serve other people. I mean, the world sees that. Whether we're the kind of people that are caring and concerned and compassionate, and I think they respond to that. And that's why it's so important that we're not concerned about more, more, more for me. There's nothing wrong with like this guy, that there's nothing there that says he got his illegally or unethically or immorally or anything else. It just says his ground yielded plentifully. And so he had a choice at that point what to do with that plentifully. Spend it and do it for himself or do some good with it. And he chose to do it all for himself. So there's nothing wrong with our ground yielding plentifully if we do the right thing with it. And that's what's important, like the guy that C.L. mentioned. His grounds yielded plentifully, and he did the right thing with it. So many others choose to spend it more and more and more. Like I think we mentioned last week, feeding the pig. Was that last week we talked about feeding the pig, the commercials, you know, about the guy was wanting to buy the great big new TV, or big screen TV, and he'd almost gotten talked into it. Then the pig slaps him and says, "You're right, I don't really need that big screen TV, and so I'll save my money," and you know. So that's just kind of the opposite of all the other type of advertising on TV. Most people don't want to feed the pig, they want to feed themselves. But that's kind of a consumer society tends to do that. Tends to not feed the pig, not feed the savings, but if you have anything extra, it's time to buy something. Right? Let's don't do something good with it, let's buy something. Yeah. So this, you know, even though this was written almost 2,000 years ago, it is just as relevant for our society and our culture, our country, as it was then. And the lessons that they needed to learn then, we need to learn today as well. And it's very hard in our society. It's hard for our kids. It's hard for a parent, it's hard, you know, just because of the society we live in, because that's what is stressed. I mean, whether it's at work or in schools or anywhere, that's, you know, you see it stressed over and over and over again. It's about, you know, you've really got to have those things or there's no way you could possibly be happy. You know, and our society stresses, you know, self-esteem is the most important thing. There's nothing wrong with, I mean, we are supposed to love ourselves in a sense, like the Bible says, but the way our society stresses self-esteem is not the way the Bible stresses it at all. And those things have an appearance of making you happy, and they might make you happy for a very short period of time. But then it's fleeting, right? It's gone, and this guy didn't even get to enjoy it a day, did he? That night. Says your soul's going to be required of you, and then it's gone. You're not going to get any enjoyment out of it at all. So Jesus, as he often does, after he teaches some principle, he'll give some parable or some story that the people will remember that teaches that lesson in a very memorable way. And I'm sure those people, hopefully, remembered that story for some time. But he still continues with the same kind of train of thought, you know, about possessions, about desires, about priorities. Because he says in verse 22, therefore, okay, based on what I've just said and what just talked about, the account, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. The life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. See, that's what that rich farmer forgot, right? He thought life was just that. Life was eating, life was drinking, life was about what you wore. That was life. I mean, that's what life was all about. Life wasn't about anything else. But Jesus says, no, it's not. So Jesus emphasizes that our concern and our efforts is not to be focused on all the material things, the eating, the drinking, the being clothed, and all those other things. He says, life is a whole lot more than that. And he had just said, what you need to do is be rich toward God. So don't worry, don't be anxious, don't put all your concerns and efforts into eating, things that's going to go on your body and all those other things. Don't be anxious for it. Don't be doubting. Actually, the word here in the original is about doubting. You know, don't doubt. See, it's about trust, like I mentioned. It's about trusting. Were you going to trust God, or are you going to trust your riches? You know, which are you going to trust? Yes, you know. You can't put your trust in God and in riches at the same time. He says that doesn't work. You're either going to put your trust in one or put your trust in the other. You have to make your decision. But he tells them that life is more than just about the physical issues of life. He says that's We have to take care of those things, but that's not what life is about. So he gives some examples to kind of drive home that point that life is more than about food and raiment and clothing and stuff. He drives home this point. So he says, okay, consider the ravens. Okay, look at these birds, he says. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And that's still about trusting, right? He's still, you know, about God taking care. The ravens don't, they don't meet in conferences, or they don't assemble and figure out ways they're going to get through the winter, or how they're going to get together and sow and reap. They don't do that. But God, through His infinite wisdom, through His creation, through His natural order, how He keeps the world going, God takes care of them. Because they're still ravens, aren't there? They're still ravens, they're still birds out there. So God even takes care of what at that time was one of the unclean animals. God even takes care of them. He's provided ways for them to live in this world. And that's, they're just an unclean bird. So He says, of how much more value are you? Or do you think you're more valuable than the ravens? Well, you should, because you're made in God's image. God gave you a soul that He did not give the ravens. So if He has provided ways for this unclean animal that doesn't have a soul like you have, it's not eternal like you have, if He has provided ways for them, don't you think He's provided ways for you? See, it's about trusting again. You know, do you trust God, or do you want to trust riches? Do you want to trust the world, trust wealth, trust all these other things? Or do you want to trust God? And it really goes back to that trust thing. He gives another example to make the people think. You know, Jesus did that an awful lot. Said things that caused people to think. And I think maybe sometimes the people didn't get it then when He told them. But later on, after they thought about it a lot, it might have hit home. He asked them, and which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Well, how many people could do that? Well, not a single one. It was impossible for them to do that. The same type of attitude and mind that thinks only about the worldly issues and the worldly things of life. So it says, if then you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? It says you can't add an inch or whatever to your stature, so why are you concerned about all these other things? You can't do that. Where's your trust again? Who are you trusting and what are you trusting? Here's another example. He says, well, think about the lilies. Now, he's went from a raven, now he's just going to a plant. How they grow. And those people, there were all different types of lilies in that area of Palestine in the first century, different kinds. But it's true of any type of plant. Look how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, just look at these flowers. Again, they don't make plans. They're not concerned about where their food's coming from. They don't worry about how they're going to be clothed. They don't worry about tomorrow. They're not fretting about yesterday. They don't do any of those things. And yet Jesus says that they are more glorious than Solomon. Well, in what way? Why would he say they're Solomon? And Solomon had, you know, you go back and read about Solomon's life. Oh my, he had just everything, didn't he? Everything imaginable. Built all kinds of buildings and had all these gardens and all these vineyards and all these animals and all of these things. And he says, even Solomon, all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. What do you think he's trying to drive home to these people? Yes, see, yeah. That's right. All this, and Solomon was the wealthiest man, right? And just had, you know, Solomon in Ecclesiastes says, whatever my heart wanted, I got it. So he had everything materially you could imagine. Everything materially. And Solomon basically said, none of it mattered. Doesn't make you happy. Doesn't make any difference how much you have, what you have. It is not going to make you happy. And it doesn't bring glory to God just because you have it. So these lilies, these plants, these flowers were far, far, far more glorious than all of Solomon, than everything that Solomon had. Hopefully those people would think, you know, you just have a single flower here, and then you compare it to Solomon's vast wealth and resources, and you look at the two, most societies and most cultures will say, well, Solomon, all that was far greater than just a plant. But Jesus said that's not true. Look at this plant. It doesn't have to worry about all the things Solomon worried about. It doesn't have to plan about its food. It doesn't have to think, it doesn't have the right clothes on. It doesn't have to think about and fret about any of those things. Think about what Solomon did when you had all those vast resources. What do a lot of rich people do? Afraid someone's going to come and do something with it, right? Steal it or break it or whatever. Lily doesn't have to worry about any of that. So no wonder Jesus says the lily is arrayed, it's clothed, it's greater in glory than Solomon. All those things that Solomon had. So if God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And there's the real issue, right? He comes out and says it. There, you that don't trust. So the person that is far more concerned about all these issues of life, the food and clothing and drink and all of these other things and wondering about their meals and all things, he says those people are of little faith because you're putting your faith in the wrong things, just like that rich man did. Put his trust and faith and everything in all of those physical resources and wealth that he had acquired, and this left God out of the picture. So it seems to me that the lesson for us is the same. You know, if we're constantly fretting and worrying about all of those same type of issues, then Jesus would say, oh, you have little faith to us too. I mean, he'd say the same thing. Why don't you trust?
Sometimes we worry about some little thing that doesn't amount to hell of
me. That's exactly right.
Same thing here.
And we could be spending that time and our effort in a much better way, I think, is another lesson from that. Because we're concerned about something. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have cares and concern about things. Yeah, Paul talks about he had a great concern for all the churches, remember? There's things to be concerned about. Doesn't mean that we should just have some I don't care about anything attitude. That's not what he's stressing at all. But we're not supposed to be fretting and worrying and putting our trust in all of those things of the world, and that's where our whole life is about. And yet I know vast numbers of Christians who do that exact same thing. When it comes to choosing between coming to worship service or something of the world comes first, every last time. If it's convenient to come to worship service or come to class, they'll come. But if there's any other tiny little reason why they won't come, they shouldn't come, then they won't come. Well, it seems to me that that's a person that doesn't have much faith in, because they're trusting in all the things of the world. And none of those things are going to help. Whether it's your job or making money or entertainment or recreation or whatever, I think that fits into our account. I think that fits into these people who are putting their faith and trust and are more concerned about the things of this world. Probably every one of us need to imagine, you know, Jesus saying to us, this night your soul will be required of you. And it might be. I mean, our soul might be required of us today. And have we spent our time and effort putting our trust in the things of the world, or have we planned to send our treasures on up into heaven? I think some of us would have to say that we've put all of our treasures on earth, even if we claim to be Christians. Well, this lesson is a great one for us to think about. Hopefully Jesus won't say that, call us, O you of little faith. So he says, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. It's kind of a double-minded attitude. You know, James talks about, you know, don't be double-minded. That's kind of the idea here, too. So, don't seek. Yeah, you have to eat and drink and you have to be clothed. But don't seek that. Don't have that as your aim in life. And you have to go against society and culture and the norms and the standards of our society to do that. But he says, don't do it. And I think it's all connected. Because if you are seeking what you should eat and what you should drink, you're going to have an anxious mind, aren't you? So I think all those go together. So that's why he says, don't seek those things and don't have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. Isn't that true? It's true in the first century, still true today. And your Father knows that you need these things. It's not an idea that God doesn't know that we need to eat and drink. He knows that. He created us. He created us to need to eat. And He created within us the need to drink. And He created within us the need to be clothed. So those needs are there. It's not that God doesn't know that we don't need those things. That's not it at all. He says, though, that if you're seeking after all those things like the rich man was, then you're just like all the nations of the world around. Because that's what they do. And that's still true today. The nations of the world are far more concerned about those things than they are about seeking God and being rich toward God and laying up treasures in heaven. So he says, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. There's your priority. Don't seek things about eating. Don't seek things about drinking. Don't seek things of the world, things about drink. That's not what you're supposed to be seeking. That's not your aim and goal in life. Even though you have to have them, don't have that as your goal or aim, but have as your goal or aim the kingdom of God. Because even if you don't have all the things of the world, if you have the kingdom of God, that's the only thing that's important. That's the priority. That's how you're rich toward God. So that's how we have to seek it. And when he gives this these lessons at another time earlier in his life, remember here in Luke 12, it's just a few months before he dies, when he gives some of these same principles back in Matthew 5 through 7, that's the very early. It's about 2.5-3 years before Luke chapter 12. So it's a vast time difference, but it's still some of the same principles. Of course, there in Matthew 6:33, he talks about seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But it's certainly the same idea. It says, all these things shall be added to you. Don't have as your goal in life all these things, but have your goal in life being the kingdom of God. And certainly, we don't see the people seeking the kingdom of God certainly as much as when I was younger, where people are just more concerned.